Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
This episode of The Amateur Traveler is brought to you by Audible. Please visit audiblepodcast.com/traveler for your free audiobook download.
I got my bags packed on a roll. I'm heading out there and I'm ready to go. I'm looking real good in my passport photo.
Amateur Traveler, episode 177. Today the Amateur Traveler goes to Mexico City, La Ciudad de México. We'll talk history, culture, and food, and we'll also mock my Spanish today on The Amateur Traveler. Welcome to The Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Before we get into today's interview, I do have two news stories for you. The first story was some good news for the endangered northern right whale, but bad news for the people in Rockland, Maine, who may have been looking forward to the tourist business caused by cruise ships. Royal Caribbean has canceled that as a port of call because new regulations limit ships in the nearby area because of the right whale to no more than 10 knots or 11.5 miles per hour, and that was just too slow for the cruise line. And then in a very strange news story coming out of Dallas, Texas, a 26-year-old passenger was apparently in a hurry to get off of a flight, and so while the airplane was still taxiing down the runway, he ran down to the front of the plane, opened a door, and slid down the inflatable emergency exit slide. I suppose he was trying to get to his next flight sooner. Instead, as you may imagine, he was detained by the authorities. For links to both of these news stories, as well as some other news stories, check out the show notes at amateurtraveler.com. Before we get into this week's interview, I want to thank our sponsor, which is Audible.com. Audible.com is the internet's leading provider in spoken audio entertainment with over 50,000 titles to choose from. You can sign up for a free trial today and get your free downloadable audiobook by going to audiblepodcast.com/traveler. The book that I'm currently listening to is The Thunderbolt Kid by Bill Bryson, which is a personal memoir. Get your free book again at audiblepodcast.com/traveler. I'd like to welcome to the show Anna Laura, who is coming to us from Mexico City and coming to talk to us about her hometown. Anna, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I hear you laughing at my Spanish pronunciation already. This is only going to get worse as we go along, I'm sure. But
I know how pronunciation can be really awful.
Why should someone come to Mexico City?
First of all, because it's cheap.
Okay.
Compared to U.S. standards, it's really cheap. And it's very close to the U.S., so for practical purposes, why miss it? I think it's really a great city. A lot of history, a lot of culture, and especially coming from the U.S., it has a lot of a culture that people from the U.S., sorry, I don't really use the word Americans, because I think that's excluding.
You can call us gringos if you want, that's okay.
Okay, I'm not getting into why I won't call you gringos. But a lot of Mexico is coming into the U.S., and I think everybody who can, and it's really affordable, should try to understand that. Besides it being very beautiful, very full of culture city, I hear people saying this all the time about every country, but the people really are amazing.
One of the reasons that you wanted to be on this show was concern also over what people are thinking about Mexico City or hearing about it. Now, my mother called me when she heard that I was planning on going to Mexico City. In fact, by the time this show airs, I will already have been to Mexico City, so this is kind of an odd one for me because I haven't been there now. She didn't want me to go because she thought it was unsafe. What should I tell her?
I've been living here all my life. My parents have been living here for a really long time. None of us have ever gotten mugged. I have had my purse stolen twice, but that was because I left it unattended in a public place. It's not particularly polite, but it's not really dangerous. I know very few people who have been mugged. Just being smart about it. And trust me, I'm really stupid about my safety. I go prancing around in the middle of the night through dark streets, and I have never, ever had anything happen to me.
Okay. Are there tips that we should give people that would be things that would be smart to do or things that would be not smart to do, other than the obvious? Anything specific to Mexico City we should know?
I go around with iPod headphones.
Okay.
So that's quite obvious. But just be smart about it. Probably there is a lot more pickpocketing going on than mugging.
Okay.
So just watch your stuff. If you're in public transport, just put it in the front of your body and hug it tightly if you're that scared.
What should someone see? If you have, say, a week to see Mexico City or 2 weeks, where would you take somebody first?
There's this thing, I think it's in a lot of major cities now. It's called the Turibus in Mexico. It's this two-story bus that goes around all of the sites.
Okay.
In downtown.
So it's a hop-on, hop-off bus?
Yeah, exactly. When I took it about 2 years ago, that was $10,
okay,
more or less. And you get to see everything. You get to have a decent look at the city worth what. If you don't want to do that, I would definitely recommend downtown. Just the Centro Histórico.
Okay.
Which means the historical center, right in the main plaza. It's a very weird plaza because in all colonial Spanish colonized cities, you get these beautiful places with trees and fountains and maybe a kiosk at the center. But here, I don't know exactly when, but it got cleared out, this big slab of concrete.
Uh-huh.
It's sort of prepped for manifestations and stuff. And they use it for a lot of other things. They have a winter time ice rink for skating. They do museums. They do temporal expositions. They do a lot of stuff.
Okay.
But it's just a basic big slab of concrete, and there's everything you need to see. There's the really majestic cathedral in front of you. Then there are Palacio de Gobierno, the government's palace, I guess, which I think it is free to enter to go see the murals by Diego Rivera, if you're interested in that. And the murals by Diego Rivera in the Palacio de Gobierno actually tell the story of Mexico. Maybe it's not exactly narrative, but I think it's very insightful.
And when we're talking about the Central Square and you say it's large, as I recall, it's the second largest public square in the world behind Red Square. And this is the Zócalo. Am I saying that anywhere close to correct?
No, that's very good.
Okay.
You even got the accent right. In the Zócalo, right next to the cathedral, is a very impressive thing, which is the Templo Mayor.
Uh-huh.
That was the Aztecs' biggest and most important religious temple. And, of course, it got destroyed. The stones were reused as material. It was really neglected until very little ago that it got rediscovered. So you get to see the ruins of what was the biggest temple in the Aztec world. And you get to go around the site. You don't get to climb anything. And then you get to go into the museum, which I think it's very good.
Okay. So we've got the colonial facade of both the palace and the cathedral, as well as the old Aztec temple. And we haven't even left the central square yet.
I don't know if it's okay to plug a little history here.
Absolutely. I love my history.
Cortés really didn't encounter too much resistance from anybody when he arrived at the coast.
At Veracruz?
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. There was a bit of resistance at first, but then everybody just found out that he had horses and guns, so they decided to start making truces and alliances and just keep out of his way.
Uh-huh.
The only thing he did was sort of destroy temples and put crosses, but nothing too violent. And then he got to Mexico City, and all of a sudden he had to go back to Veracruz to deal with some men sent by the governor of Cuba, who was sort of his enemy.
Okay.
When he had to go out to fight these guys, he left the city in charge of Pedro de Alvarado. And he was...
I missed that. Sorry, Mexican Spanish is very fast to my ear. Pedro...
De Alvarado. Pedro de Alvarado's orders were to just stay put. But he decided that he wasn't going to do that, and there was a huge party going on, well, sacred party going on in the Templo Mayor with all the nobles, all the priests, all the high priests, and he decided to attack them. That's the point where everything became really violent and really cruel, and that led to him trying to escape Mexico City, everybody getting killed on the way out of Mexico City, because Mexico City was an island in the middle of a group of lakes. So when he tried to get away, all the Aztecs just dismembered the bridges. That's when the siege started. That's when everybody started dying. That's where Moctezuma died. Everything's a downfall from this episode at the Templo Mayor.
Oh, interesting. So it sounds like the Mexican perspective on Cortez might be a little different than we get here in the U.S.
Well, what do you get exactly?
Well, we get more of that he's the one who came in and killed Montezuma and such, and you're saying he wasn't even there when that happened.
Moctezuma was taken captive by Pedro de Alvarado, and then he was sent out to give a speech to calm everybody down, and everybody got so mad that they started stoning him.
Huh, interesting.
No, Cortés is very much hated here, really.
Okay.
I just had a really good history teacher, whose sole intent was to redeem Cortés.
So we're at the Zócalo, and we're looking at the Templo Mayor.
Yeah.
Where do you take me next?
If you're standing in the Zócalo, facing the cathedral, then at your left, there are a couple of streets that will take you straight to Bellas Artes. You know what that is?
I don't know what that is.
Well, we had a bit of a French craze in the early 20th century.
Uh-huh, sure, Maximilian.
Yeah, no, that was actually about, I think, 40 years after Maximilian.
Oh, okay.
We just had a president/dictator who was infatuated with France. So he had this palace built by French architects, and it's very Art Nouveau.
Okay.
It's a gorgeous building. There are art exhibits in there. You can go to shows, sort of concerts and ballet. There's a library and a coffee shop, I think.
Okay.
It's a gorgeous building, and it's right at the end of this gardeny walk. It's a really nice place.
Okay.
And it's a place where a lot of Mexican families go in the weekend. So it's if you want to go local, there you have it, a family outing.
And one of my understandings is, in terms of some of the gardens and parks in downtown, is that they're popular in part because we do have a fair amount of air pollution in Mexico City because of where it sits.
Yeah.
And that's still the case?
I don't think it's going to get any better because the mountains just block the airflow.
Uh-huh.
We just get more polluted.
And where do we go from there?
If it's getting late, there's a cafe. There's a Sears store in front of Bellas Artes.
Okay.
At the very top, there's a cafe, an open outdoorsy cafe. It's a really nice experience watching the sunset while watching Bellas Artes light up. It's really beautiful. I guess you would like to see museums. This park is called the Alameda. A few blocks away from the Alameda is a new museum called Museo de Artes Populares.
Okay.
Which is a collection of popular arts and crafts. So you get a taste of what arts and crafts are in Mexico.
Okay.
And they have beautiful exhibits all the time. They just did an exhibit on piñatas.
Oh, okay.
Done by artists. I mean, it's not the regular piñata you would get. These are very overdone piñatas.
All right.
I guess that covers downtown. The Zócalo, Bellas Artes, and all the streets leading to and from Bellas Artes, they have the most beautiful buildings. And there has been a project recently to make downtown livable again. So it's gone through a lot of restoration. It has a lot of shops, a lot of really beautiful buildings. You might be interested in another museum that lies between Bellas Artes and the Zócalo, which is the Estanquillo, which is a private collection of a Mexican scholar. He has things like cartoons and stuff like that.
And here's a question for you. Where do the tourists go that the locals think, I don't know why they waste their time doing that?
The Zona Rosa.
The Zona Rosa, oh yes, okay.
Yeah.
Which is where most tourists stay also.
I don't know why it's so famous. Yes. I go there because there's an American library that I like to go to, but there's really nothing to do there other than to see American shops and to look at tourists and to pay overpriced for really, yeah, because it's filled with tourists. There's a Starbucks, there's a McDonald's, there's any kind of fast food restaurant in Mexico that has a place there. It's filled with tourists and overpriced crafts, so I don't know why people still go there.
And what are they missing when they're staying in the Zona Rosa? We've talked about some of the things. Where's a place that you never see a tourist and you think, why aren't they here?
I'm going to plug my zone, which is the south of the city. I think it's gorgeous and totally underrated.
When we say the zones, we should say that Mexico City is a huge, huge city. We're talking 20 million people. And there are how many different zones?
I don't know. I think it's the centro, the center, the sur, which is the south, el norte, which is the north, and poniente, which would be west, I think.
Okay. And then within that, we get the various colonias.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And there's hundreds of those then.
While you're in the downtown area, even on the same day, but probably on another day, you should go to Chapultepec.
Chapultepec, okay.
Yeah, that means Grasshopper Mountain in Nahuatl. They used to be the private gardens of Moctezuma.
Okay.
Then some viceroy decided to build a castle there, which was the home of Mexican presidents for a long time. Now it's our National Museum of History.
Oh, okay.
So if you want to see the table where the Constitution was signed or quotes of our leaders or stuff like that, and I think they still have some rooms of how the presidents who live.
Okay. And one thing I should ask is, how are we getting around? Now, in the center here, I imagine we're doing a fair amount of walking, but we can also just hop on the metro?
Yes, I absolutely love the subway system because it's really fast and you get no streetlights.
And it costs very little. I don't know what the cost is exactly.
2 pesos, which would
Two
be
pesos?
About
okay.
20 cents.
20 cents, okay.
Well, even less now that the dollar is up.
Yeah, about 17 cents, I think.
Yeah. Getting around in Mexico City without a car is probably smartest. It's really easy because this is a city where most people use public transport.
Right.
On the metro, each line has its own distinct color.
Okay.
And each station has its own name, but also its own drawing.
Oh, okay.
Because it's geared for people who can't read.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So that's helpful for those of us who may be able to read but can't read Spanish.
Yes, just get the right picture and that's where you get off. It's really simple to use.
Oh, interesting.
And then the buses get you anywhere. Though I think buses are trickier to catch if you don't speak Spanish.
Okay.
Because bus drivers are really helpful. You just get on and you tell them, where is this going? Is this going to where I want to go? And they will tell you either yes or what bus to catch.
Okay.
And also, there's not a fixed rate on the bus. So you always have to ask, ¿cuánto le debo?
Okay.
Which means, how much do I owe you?
So I don't need to know a lot of Spanish to use the buses. Actually, if I go on probably and name the place I want to go to, they'll probably figure out whether that's a yes or no answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, if you're traveling to Mexico, you should consider that people are really polite. Try brushing up on polite expressions like perdón or disculpe, which are
excuse me,
gracias,
right.
Thank you, and those three words.
Okay.
Right next to Chapultepec, where the castle is, there are a lot of gardens, and there's the Museo Nacional de Antropología e Historia.
Okay, the history museum.
Yeah, where you would go if you want to see the Aztec calendar.
Ah, okay.
It's a very tiring museum because it has a lot of pieces to look at.
Okay.
But at the same time, it's organized by cultures and times. So it's designed for you to go from pre-Hispanic times to Mayan and Aztec civilizations at their peaks, which are actually my favorite exhibits.
Okay.
I don't get charged because I'm a Mexican student. So whenever I'm in the area, I just go in for 10 minutes and get out of there because it's overwhelming and I have my favorite pieces to look at, which would be in the Mayan exhibit. There is this very impressive tomb of a Mayan governor called Pakal.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you've been to Palenque, but
I haven't. I know of Palenque. I actually worked at one time with an archaeologist who was excavating Palenque.
The thing is that Mexican pyramids, as opposed to Egyptian pyramids, were never supposed to be tombs.
Uh-huh.
They were just very elaborate platforms for the temple that was on top. And all of those temples are destroyed, so you will never find those. But in Palenque, the weirdest thing happened. They discovered the only tomb that has been discovered in a pyramid.
Interesting.
The best pieces got shipped to the capital, and that's where you get this beautiful, well, this skeleton covered in jade and gold. It's really astonishing.
Interesting.
And then there's another piece that I love that everybody just walks by, which is a sort of a social pyramid done with beads and pieces of ceramic. So you get this beautiful pyramid illustrated by these tiny replicas. The governor at the very top, and you get this very elaborate figurine, and at the very bottom, the people who work the lamp, the campesinos.
The people who do all the work?
Yeah,
we're talking about
the peasants.
Peasants?
Yeah, and then you get the postecos, which were the people in commerce, and then the warriors, and then the higher-up warriors and the priests, and then at the very top, the tlatoani, or the high governor.
Okay.
It's really cute, and it explains a lot.
So as you look at the carving, you're also getting sort of an illustration of the society and how it was constructed.
Exactly.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And this is in the Mayan exhibit. And then right next to the Mayan exhibit is the Aztec exhibit, which has the big Aztec sun, Aztec calendar of the sun. It has some amazing stuff. It has bits of cloth that remain. It has a really, really beautiful vase. It's carved in obsidian.
Obsidian, okay.
And it's a monkey, and it's really delicate, and it's just one piece. It's amazing.
Okay.
They have a replica of Moctezuma's headdress, because as every Mexican kid knows from primary school, the original one is in Austria.
All right.
I don't know how it got there, but there it is, and we're not getting it back. So there's this replica that has just been unveiled, and I think it's made from the real material, like Quetzal feathers and stuff.
Okay.
It's really beautiful. And then right at the back of the Aztec calendar is a small replica of the market, of the main market in Tlatelolco. What many people don't know is that the market is one of the things that astounded the most the Spaniards. In his memoirs, Cortes writes that he was impressed that he could walk barefoot across the market. And this was the hugest market in the hugest capital in a big part of America. It was really crowded. He could walk barefoot and never get his feet dirty. They were also pretty amazed by how organized it was.
Huh. You said we should also get out of the central Zona Histórica and get differences down to southern Mexico City.
Yes, I highly recommend the south of Mexico City because up to about the 50s, the south of Mexico City was not part of the city. It has grown very quickly, but in the south remain very beautiful things like cobblestone streets and the only remaining river of Mexico City, which is just about 100 meters of stagnant, stinky water, but it's the only river we have left, is right here in the south.
And when you say the south, what particular colonia are we in, for instance?
Coyoacán. That one's a bit tricky because it's going through a remodeling stage right now.
Uh-huh.
But if you get to the center of Coyoacán, you can see one of Cortés's original houses.
Oh, interesting.
And you can see the church he built for himself and his family. A lot of the conquistador houses are there. It's a very green zone full of trees, cobblestone streets, very charming. You can also find Diego Rivera's studio and house, Frida Kahlo's, and Trotsky's.
Trotsky, okay.
And then if you go farther south, I think the farthest south, which would be recommendable, is called Xochimilco.
Xochimilco, okay, with the canals.
Yeah, and I think everybody misses that, and it's gorgeous, because Mexico City was built on gardens growing out of the water, and this is the one part of the city that keeps that. And it's a really nice touristic experience. You go, you rent a little barge along with the guy who's propelling you, and they don't really use oars. They use really long sticks to push themselves from the bottom.
Okay.
And I think it's a really pre-Hispanic experience because you get people all around you in smaller boats selling you stuff, which is how it would have worked. And you can get food, you can get even mariachis.
I heard there were mariachi bands on some of the nearby boats, yeah.
And there is a way, which I don't know how I will send for you to put in the show notes, but you can actually make an appointment and go to a reservation part of Xochimilco.
Okay.
That's really gorgeous. The water is clear, you have birds, you have a lot of trees, you have no people. I think that's a really unexpected experience because everybody who goes to Mexico City is expecting a city. If you know where to go, you get canals and birds and wildlife.
Yeah, certainly not something you expect in a city of 20 million.
If you're in the south and you're here in a Saturday, you can go to San Angel, which is right next to Coyoacán. There's a famous Bazar del Sábado, or Saturday Bazaar.
Okay, so we're in the Colonia Holy Angel, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And there you get crafts, mostly.
A craft bazaar. Oh, interesting. On Saturday.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you were able to get crafts in Coyoacán, but since the remodeling, all the vendors have moved on and complained a lot about that. So now you can't get as much stuff there.
Now, the other thing that I know that tourists do, or at least something that I was considering doing on my trip, is getting out to the Big Pyramid, third largest pyramid in the world, north of town.
Teotihuacan.
Right. Is that something that is recommended? I know I've read a lot of recommendations that a lot of tourists just get on the tours to go there and end up only seeing the pyramid for about an hour and spend at least an hour in gift shops and such. So is it a place you would recommend? And if so, how would you recommend to approach it?
I would recommend sunglasses, a hat, and a lot of water.
Okay.
It's really windy and it's really dusty.
Okay.
And it's amazing, really. Though the pyramids are not at all well preserved.
Okay.
But you get the main pyramid, La Pirámide del Sol.
The Pyramid of the Sun, okay.
The smaller Pirámide de la Luna, of the Moon.
Okay.
And you get Calzada de los Muertos.
The what of the dead?
Calzada, the street.
Ah, okay.
Those are a lot of big constructions that you can get into, get a workout from, because it's really strenuous to climb those things. And the gift shops are right next to the pyramids.
Uh-huh.
So if you remember your way to the gift shops, you could just get back to the pyramids.
And so would you recommend someone just go on their own, just take the subway and a bus up there? Or
you can't really get there by subway.
Right.
Because it's actually out of the city. But there are buses, so you could go to a bus station and get on a bus probably 1 hour, 2 hour ride. Go see that on your own. I would recommend taking a guide with you so that you know what you're seeing. The most amazing thing is that right outside of the pyramid complex, where the houses start, because you're not in the middle of a deserted place with pyramids. It's surrounded by people living there.
Okay.
And next to the pyramids, but not in the pyramid complex, they discovered very recently living quarters of nobles. That's really amazing because those still have the original painting. And you can see the murals with faded but original colors and depicting wars and nobles and whatnot. I don't really know how to get there. I know they're just next to the pyramids.
Okay. When I go to Mexico City, what's going to be the biggest surprise for me?
I don't know. I'm always amazed by the people. The people here are really nice and kind. You will not be able to sneeze without somebody saying bless you, no matter how far away they are. If they heard you sneeze, they will say bless you. It's a very weird sort of politeness that Mexicans have got.
Okay. What is a day that you can think of that you woke up and you said, thank God I was born in Mexico City? What kind of day makes you say that?
I can think of 2 days that I spent with my friends. One day we decided to go to an art exhibit in downtown, and we spent all our day there, and we did some bit of tourism. The day ended with us having a coffee, watching the sunset in Bellas Artes.
Okay.
That was a really nice experience. And another one was, this was about 2 weeks ago, going to see a temporary exhibit in the Museo Nacional de Antropología and then just going to the museum, seeing some pieces and getting out, going to the zoo, just walking around. And after all that sightseeing, we just got on the metro and we went to watch a movie, and then I stayed over at my friend's house. And when we woke up, we went to have breakfast at the market, which is a really cool experience.
Okay. Speaking of food, you haven't been to Mexico City if you haven't eaten what?
Probably tortas from a vendor on the street.
Tortas from a vendor on the street, okay.
I know that you have your own concept of Mexican food in the U.S.
Right. Well, I've been to Mexico a few times, so yes, I know it's not at all the same. I'm not expecting Taco Bell.
We don't have a thing here, sort of a hard taco shell. That
right.
does not exist. If you want our tacos to be crispy, we fry them with everything inside.
Uh-huh.
You can have a lot of varieties of food. You can have from really cheap food. You can have taco de canasta, which is a man with a huge basket of tacos on a bike, selling them for about 3 pesos each.
Okay.
You can have market food, which I would recommend the deep-fried foods, such
as
quesadillas.
Okay.
Yeah. Quesadillas, sopes, tostadas.
Okay.
That's just fried flour with things either inside them or on top of them.
Okay.
Then you have some more complicated stuff like chilaquiles or enchiladas, which are tortillas that have been sitting in sauce for so long they've gone soft.
Okay.
That goes with some chicken or ham or meats of some sort. So you get a lot of sauce, some meat, tortilla, cream and cheese on top of that. And those are very good. They're very popular breakfast foods.
Okay.
And then you have really outright special occasion foods like mole, which is a sauce made from chocolate.
Chocolate. Mm.
And then you have my favorite, which are tamales.
Oh, yes. Okay.
do you want me to explain what those are?
Oh, I love tamales, but please explain. Let's assume that not everybody knows what they are.
It's dough mixed with lard. This part is disgusting. And then seasoned very differently. You can get salty tamales, which would have chicken or cheese, maybe, and of course, spicy sauce. You can get sweet tamales, which would have cinnamon or strawberry or chocolate. And
oh, okay.
All of that is wrapped in the corn sleeve.
Corn husk, huh?
Yeah, and boiled. And sometimes in the leaf of the banana palm tree.
Oh,
and
okay.
Boil.
I hadn't seen that. Okay.
And, well, if you're worried about hygiene, you should definitely try those because those have been boiled.
Okay.
And you can identify this because people selling them will have a really huge pot steaming.
What warning you would give? One thing we should know before we go to Mexico City.
I have been driven everywhere for most of my life, and recently I started moving on my own, and I've discovered how close the distances are.
Okay.
So I think that renting a car would be madness. Maybe hailing a cab if you don't know where you want to get to, but you could walk for most of the time. You would get where you want to get, and you would see a lot of the city.
Okay. And we should say there are some traveler's warnings that you should call a radio dispatch cab rather than hailing one of the green cabs on the street, is what the official advisories are, at least from the U.S. State Department.
I'm really dumb about this, but I've taken cabs straight from the street.
Okay.
Just beware, because you talked about the green cabs,
yeah.
Which for a short period had changed into white cabs with orange stripes. With
okay.
One big orange stripe, and now they're sort of burgundy and gold.
Okay.
It's really weird. Just look at the cab driver. See if you trust him.
Well, and he should match the picture ID, which should be there also.
I have never seen a picture ID.
You've never seen a picture ID?
No.
Well, so much for my travel information.
If you're leaving your hotel or something, then, yeah, you could arrange to ring for a cab. But if you want to take one off the street, go ahead.
Okay.
Beware if they're taking you into really complicated, lonely streets.
Okay. As we go to wind this down, how would you finish this sentence? You really know you're in Mexico City when what?
When you're walking down a really well-known street, and all of a sudden you turn to your right and you see a circus.
All right. You've got to explain that one, though.
This happened to me on Sunday, I think. I was walking down the street that connects my house to my school, which I have traveled through countless times. And all of a sudden, I turned around and there was a circus. It's unexplainable like that.
So when you said Mexico City doesn't surprise you, you're actually saying it surprises you all the time, you've just gotten used to it.
Yeah. If you're familiar with this literary term called real maravilloso, a magical realism.
Okay.
This is Mexico.
Okay. Interesting. And if you had to summarize a city of 20 million people in three words, how...
I have been waiting for that.
You've been waiting for it. What three words would you use?
That would be one, real maravilloso, but I don't know if that counts because it's a compound word.
We'll put a dash in there. Okay.
It's diverse and it's discoverable. I mean, you have to look for things yourself.
Okay. Ana Laura, thank you so much for coming on the show. Did I do the German R there again?
No, you did a little better.
I did a little better. Thank you so much for coming on the show and telling us a bit about your home city.
If anybody coming from anywhere wants to meet up, I love meeting people.
Thank you for the invitation.
I would actually offer my house, but my parents would be really angry about that.
Well, we didn't talk about where to stay, but we did recommend don't stay in the Zona Rosa. I'm actually staying in a hostel right by the Zocalo, and we'll see how that works. I'll be able to tell people by the time this goes up how my experiences were. Thank you so much for coming.
No, you're welcome.
One thing that was funny about this particular episode is that between the time that I recorded it and now I have been to Mexico City, and so some of the pictures that those of you who watched the enhanced version saw were pictures that I took in Mexico City, and I did get a chance to meet Ana Laura and take her picture, for instance, and get a tour of Coyoacán with her as a tour guide, and she is a wonderful tour guide. It was a great time. I stayed right near the Zocalo, and there's more details about my trip in the blog, the Amateur Traveler blog. I wrote a blog post for every day of my trip, both in Mexico City and Oaxaca. So I'll let you refer to that if you want to get more details about where I stayed, who I met, including meeting strangers on the streets and holding conversations in Spanish. So it was a very good time and certainly something I would recommend. One cautionary note, Ana Laura has never had a problem with being mugged in Mexico City. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to meet a guest that we'll be having in 3 weeks because he was in Mexico City arriving the day after I left. While he was there, unfortunately, he was held up at gunpoint. So it can happen, and again, be safe and take appropriate precautions. This is a longer episode than usual, so we won't have any internet resources today. And in news of the community, I just wanted to say thanks. The Amateur Traveler has been nominated, as you know, for a Lonely Planet Blog Award. And as of right now, it is in the final round. It came in first place in the voting, thanks to you. Thanks very much to all of the people who responded to my Twitters, responded when I put something on the Amateur Traveler fan page. If you want to find information about both of those, there are links to them at amateurtraveler.com. And also to those of you who responded to the email I sent or who responded to the email newsletter. First place is what I wanted to be in, and I was just very pleased. Not only did you vote it into first place, but you also sent me letters thanking me for doing so, for taking the time to do it. So I was overwhelmed. Thank you so much. With that, we'll bring this episode of The Amateur Traveler to a close. If you want to contact me again, Twitter, Facebook, all of those things, links on the show page at amateurtraveler.com. You can also send me email at host@amateurtraveler.com or leave a comment at amateurtraveler.com. And as always, thanks so much for listening.